Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Black Urban America. This is Black Urban America with Kenny Jones. And we have another week under our belts. And it's good to be on the air. I hope everyone is having a good week. Just want to take care of some business real quick. Black Urban America comes on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this Saturday, we have a provocative thought with Carlton Sneed. He comes on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Also, the marketing partnership program is underway. And I just want to stress to people that have their own business or small business, what have you, it is very important that we reach out to African-American consumers, get involved in trade, get involved in doing business with each other. And it's very important that we have to start taking that type of thinking. So this marketing partnership program is really for We Talk Productions and yourself to come up with a plan to expose your product and services throughout this country. Tonight, we have back, and I sadly to say that Miss Monet was coming on monthly, and I guess she liked it so much that she wants to start her own podcast radio show. And I was really starting to get used to having her come on monthly, discuss issues that concern, especially with a part of our population that are not heard from enough, and that's the millennials. And I mean, as we middle-aged folks and Generation X and senior citizen, we really have to be inclusive of all generations, from adolescent to senior citizen. So tonight's topic that Ms. Monet is going to examine is homosexuality in the Black community. Good evening, Ms. Monet.
Hey. Hello. Can you say that again?
I said, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you. Well, here you are. I was just telling the downloads and listeners that this is going to be your last appearance on the show, and that I really was getting used to looking forward to you, because I look at you as a representation of the millennium, the African American millennium in this country. So it's your platform.
Okay. Much gratitude on that. I think I gain a lot of perspective being in the generation that I'm in right now, because it's so completely opposite of what's happening, you know, even up to the 30s to about, you know, even early 90s. I was born in the early 90s, but everything is just completely changed and everything is just up for grabs. So one of the major topics and one of the major hit things that are happening right now, and some people are calling it a trend and whatnot, is homosexuality. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but African Americans are actually the most likely group out of any other race to practice homosexuality. And this is based on numbers that they are acquiring from our communities. So, which is why I wanted to address it, because I believe that the approach that we're taking, which is oftentimes I see a lot of the pro-Black community going, no, 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 disregard them, right, isn't helping. So I wanted to talk about the approach. I wanted to talk about the causes and the root, and I wanted to kind of get through it as, like, swiftly as I can. If I can say right off the bat, there's a million African-Americans in America alone that are professing to practicing homosexuality, and that is about 5% of the African-American population. And being that they say we are about 30% of the population right now, that's a pretty large group. That's a pretty large group of us. And not only do they make up 5%, but they also have usually an African-American homosexual is making about maybe twice as much as a person that doesn't practice that lifestyle. So these are things to point out in the beginning so that we can put that one out in the air and as to why it's relevant to us, because people are saying that they're a lost cause or maybe we shouldn't associate with them and whatnot. But it's just, it's impossible to do so, because at some point, somebody in your life that you are close to is going to know somebody, perhaps, that may be practicing that lifestyle or maybe practicing that lifestyle but can't talk to you about it. So we can't mend any gap, bridge any gap. We can't get the information out there if it's never talked about. So I'm going to talk about what is seen as taboo in pro-black, in the pro-black community.
Okay. And I just want to add that gay and lesbians have always been, as far as I've known, have always been in the forefront of protests, civil rights. I mean, people need to read up on James Baldwin, a bad man. He was a bad thinker, you know, and very influential with Dr. King. And he was one of the pioneers of being an openly gay man, and he survived it. So, so this community has always been the forefront of the fight, and for us, I mean, we really had to start changing these attitudes as a community, and start, and that's really being a part of being a collective community. And very inclusive. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned James Baldwin, because I was going to bring that up. He was a great influence in our culture and in our people. And there was a lot of people who practiced different lifestyles, not just homosexuality, but practiced all kinds of lifestyles. It seems like homosexuality seems to be the most taboo. And I made a post up earlier. I don't know if people are familiar with my Facebook page, but long story short, I made up a post earlier saying that, you know, Angela Davis was a lesbian. And are we going to disregard her? I mean, we got posters of her everywhere. We got people reposting her videos everywhere, you know? And these are pro-black people who are saying, you know, the people, because in our culture, I mean, even on my post, I'm getting, I said, what should we do with the gay black community? And they said, death, merciless killings, you know, all this stuff. And we are taught, even bred in us from media, and this is throughout generation to generation, that to resort to violence when we feel some type of way about it. We're a very emotionally fueled group when we need to be logically fueled, you know? It's not logical to say that they're a lost cause, because they are still black at the end of the day, and they're still doing things in our community to help all of us, all kinds of people. They're not saying just black homosexuals. They're saying everybody. We're now getting to the point where black homosexuals are sectioning themselves off because we only want to help black heterosexual people. That's our fault, you know?
Yeah.
So when they get rejected and we're saying that we can't work with them, we can't communicate with them, we all have to take responsibility at some point. And I also wanted to talk about, too, I believe heavily in agenda. I believe in Agenda 21. I believe in population control, and I believe that a lot of what's being put out there in our foods and whatnot is for population control. It's changing our kids' hormones. It's changing how fast they grow. It's changing how sexualized they are. You know, it's making the children more curious and having them do a lot more things. So, I mean, being that the most targeted group for homosexuality right now would be my generation. You know, there's more people under the age of 26 practicing homosexuality than there's been, you know, way back in the day. So,
I don't know, Jasmine. I don't know.
Uh-huh?
You see, we can't really say that. Because back in the day, people were in the closet. And also, people are still in the closet, afraid to come out because of the attributes that you mentioned. And I don't know if it's more now or more back in the day or whatever, but there was a lot of, I mean, there always been homosexuality among us in America, but they just wasn't outed. They just didn't come out of the closet because of our community's feelings attitude toward them, and which is unfortunate. But like I said before, I know many gay and lesbian, they always be on the forefront. They are very pro-black, very pro-black. And so, so I don't know. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you about being targeted. I mean, it's always been around. It just it's been one of those issues in the black community that you or whispers at parties and what.
I agree. And a lot of them were in the closet. And then you'll see the influx of things like AIDS coming in, in the 80s, I believe it was. And it was because, imagine if more people were able to openly talk about their sexuality. There wouldn't have been this kind of infiltration of different types of diseases. We could have pinpointed the causes of the diseases and whatnot earlier. We need to talk about these things. But I'm pointing out the age group under 26 because we are also the most susceptible to certain types of changes. We are the most, we will almost let anything in. And the Pew Research Center actually did a study on people under the age of 26 that are in my age group or in my generation, as they say, like 1992 to 2000 and I forgot, four, somewhere between there. But they were saying that we are less likely to be religious. We're more inclined to have, certain types of spiritual practices, but less disciplined in them. We're less likely to believe in what authority says, forms of authority, because of we heard about the Watergate scandals back in the day, and we learned about 9/11 and how that was set up. Because we have this information now, because it is the age or it's the time or it's the age of information, we are more inclined to kind of do our own thing. You know what I'm saying? And kind of let almost so much fly. So we have to approach it in a sense that we're now dealing with a group that is most susceptible to it and taking it in, right? But it's also the most inclined to retaliate if you reject something, because this group is more inclined to reject authority, to reject certain guidelines, especially in the way it's presented. So the reason I really want to talk about homosexuality is because I want to talk about, like I said, I want to get to the root of it. I want to talk about why we should be focusing on being able to open up this platform of homosexuality in the black community. And that's because we have a lot of black people that are depressed or have some type of mental illness, as they say. And I know it's overdiagnosed in black culture, but it, according to studies, there's like 55% of African Americans on this soil are depressed. And that's something to think about. And they're saying that people or black people that struggle with their sexuality are two to three times more likely than their white or the counterparts of other races to commit suicide when they're struggling with that. Or, because often they feel like they can't talk about it or they bully for it or, because it's so taboo. And can I highlight that black males are most inclined to want to harm themselves over it. I also like to throw out the fact that, yes, there's a lot of trauma correlated to it, but there's a lot of responsibility that we have to take as a majority. Like, I would have to take responsibility for a lot of black females that tend to praise, like, let's say if people have a issue with homosexuality, that tend to praise homosexual men and whatnot. I honestly believe that people should allow people to explore and live their lifestyles the way they want to live them. Even if you disagree with it at some point, strictly focus on black issues. How can we use our money, our political power, and whatnot to progress our people? I believe that should be the focal point. But like I said earlier, we can't make that the focal point if we never communicate or if we aren't even able to sit in the same room without wanting to say,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, and it needs to be, you're so right, it needs to be really hit home that we have more important issues to address than worrying about who you're holding hand with and who you're sleeping with in the bedroom. I mean, like, that is individual. Your sexuality is individual and personal and to your But the thing I want to ask you is why? Why that people, the millennials, are questioning. I mean, when you're in your late teens or 20s, Yes, you become paranoid and you question all the structures that have been implanted in your life and whatnot, and you get exposed to other ideas and what have you, and so you start questioning different value systems. And what, but my thing is, why are millions of questions like the political process, the people's spirituality? What are black youth, what are black millennials saying about Christianity, for example?
Well, I like to go based on numbers because I don't like people to feel like I'm being biased in my experience. But in coming from my experience with different types of people, because like I always tell people, I didn't solely grow up in a black neighborhood. That's, you know, my environment was widespread. I'm in the Bay Area, most diverse city in the nation. What I'm seeing is the trend of people, like, they don't, if they say they're Christian or Catholic, they're not actually going to the churches more. And this is in, and this is also in correlation to the data that's being pushed out, which is there was like 100,000 or so millennials interviewed, and they said, when you say you're Christian or you say you're you know, Catholic, does that mean you go to church? And only like 23% were actually showing up and going to church and stuff like that. So,
could y'all be at the clubs,
like,
on Saturday night? Could y'all be at the clubs on Saturday night? That's why. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
But they've been doing that at the club. It's just, it's, I feel like it's more acceptable now. We're starting to just say no in general. I mean, about 50% of millennials or 52% of millennials actually are not non-believing, meaning that
52%?
It's just a spirituality. Yes, non-believing. And that means, when I say non-believing, I mean not practicing a monotheistic religion underneath a god. It's
right.
A spiritual spectrum. I'm talking about Buddhist, Hindu, Taoist, you know, any type of spirituality you could think of. They're more into meditating and whatnot. And this is in correlation with the numbers. My experience is actually, I was surprised, it was actually in correlation with the data that was put in front of me. Because I don't ever want to be set in my bias. So it's like when you have a group like that and then you try and tell them, hey, don't do that because God said this, A, B, and C, you really got to think about who you're approaching and what kind of mindset you're approaching, because these people already are saying, we don't believe that. So that gives no incentive to really think about the actions that they're actually doing. You know, if somebody, and even for myself, if somebody told me right now, don't do that, you're going to go to hell, I would say, YOLO, because that seems to be the model that a lot of these young people are working on. Even the babies are talking about YOLO, I really don't care. There's a lot of, like, I talk to a lot of black teenagers out here that just be like, I really don't even see myself having a future no more. I'll be lucky to even make it to 18. These are black males. I'll be lucky to make it to 18. Just be, you know,
yeah.
And it's not because, but it's like we need to stop trying to instill hope and a God or something like that. And like, that's why I say approach them where they're at, and instill that hope in themselves and their people and the people around them. Instill that trust and that comfort first, that we can talk about anything, you know, no matter how taboo it is. And I feel like if somebody will just step up and just start talking and talk to people who practice different lifestyles or whatever, even if they fall into agenda, even if you feel that they have fallen into agenda, such as homosexuality, and you do it in the right type of approach, then we can get somewhere. But yeah, a lot of these millennials are non-believing, 52%. You can look up the numbers yourself. I'm not making this up.
But yeah, I'm looking. Yeah. You're right. I just want to say, press 1 if you have a comment or have a question. Go ahead, Jazz.
All right. So I want to talk about homosexuality in the black community and what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing and what I'm experiencing, because I've had actually experienced probably within the last 2 years, I've experienced a lot. I feel like a lot more women actually hitting on me than men. And I attract a lot of men. I don't really struggle with that, right? But it's interesting,
right,
because they're looking for the listening and the protection in me, and they're also looking for kind of the comfort and the thrill of a woman. You know, it's something different. Like, in our culture, attention is kind of like everything. Oh, you got the new rim, especially with the millennials. You got the new rims. You got the new car. You got the new this. You got the new that, you know? I feel like it's interesting to me, because even when I encounter, especially when I first started talking about black lesbianism, people thought I was trying to be offensive when I said a lot of women do turn lesbian because they have been with men in the past. They turn lesbian or they turn to women because of how young black men are acting these days. And the first thing I got was deflection, which is, no, they just wanted to do that. They just always wanted some boobs. And I'm like, no, these people have been in the past, you know. But they're saying
and
that
they got children. And they have children.
And they have children, but they say that the men don't listen. The men don't put certain types of value on them. They don't feel very protected when they're in a community with men. These are the things
right, Jasper,
I'm hearing from
call.
The source's mouth.
Jasper,
okay,
you have to call. Hold on.
Okay.
Welcome to Black Urban America. Do you have a comment or a question? What is your name?
Hey, this is Carl. Hey, which one of you motherfuckers got the biggest black cock? I'm going to stick my thumb straight up your butt.
Wow, that's an obscene.
Oh,
yeah, that was an obscene phone call. Sorry about that. But, you know, if y'all disagree with this topic, I know I'm going to get a lot of comments this week. I know that even a lot of people may not even listen or download the show this week. But I don't care because these are our people, and this is Black Urban America. I discuss all kinds of issues in the past year on this show, from A to Z. Child babies, shootings, incarceration, businesses, entrepreneurship, because all this affect our communities. So if y'all going to get angry, please keep the obscenity to yourself. And I don't want anybody inboxing me neither. Listen to me. I don't want anybody inboxing me telling me off because see, I mess around. I have this topic on every week. If you're messing with me. Go ahead, Jasmine. Sorry.
All right, no, it's fine. It's fine. Usually when we get white supremacists or people pretend to be white supremacists, we're telling the truth, which is means it's a good topic. But I want to say, So I want to talk about. I'm gonna first approach black lesbianism, then I'll approach black gay males, and then I'll approach, approach physically fueled. Homosexuality and emotionally fueled homosexuality, which is kind of a theory that I've been working on. But I'm hearing from a lot of black gay lesbians or even bisexual women that are ending up with men and doing certain things that the things they look for in a woman, they don't realize that a lot of men can't offer these qualities and should be offering these qualities. They're just not expressing it in a certain light. Like, they want somebody that listens. Listening is so important. Like, listen and don't get super defensive. Now, what I notice on my posts is the consistency in what a lot of these black lesbians are saying, not saying that I'm going to take that route, but the men got so defensive when I said how young black men act. And it's funny because the pro-black community is constantly critiquing how a lot of our young people, especially our young black males, are acting, how they're degrading the woman, how they're cursing the woman out, how they're not appreciating it. But when I say that, it's like they couldn't correlate the two as to why a woman would turn to another woman. And not to mention that we outnumber black men about 4-1. So we're already at a shortage. And when we see black males acting that way, we're at an even more of a shortage. And now black women are being encouraged to go into lesbian because of media and whatnot, right? They feel like they can openly do so. And some of them are doing it to be spiteful. Like, I've had a lot of black lesbians tell me, I can't stand black men because they never listened to me. They were always so defensive. The way they just expressed their opinion was just, like, so dominant, you know, or it was just too much. You know, they were one way in front of me and another way in front of their friends, and I understand that there's a difference in hormones and testosterone and social norms, but we need to change the social construct of our people because it's causing, like I said, this is a big, huge problem. It's a root problem in black lesbianism, and I should have asked one of my homies to actually call in and talk about this because
him.
Okay.
This is Black Urban America. Welcome to Black Urban America. What is your name?
Tell that black bitch to shut the fuck up. Your face is fucked up. Your dick is fucked up.
Oh, that's an attack on me. That somebody's just doing that to troll. And that's okay.
That's okay. Go ahead.
But do you see what I'm talking about? Even the voice, you can hear that it was a male, and you see how defensive they are. Like, and this is not unusual, especially with a lot of young black males. I hate to say it, and I'm not saying all black men. Like, people feel like I'm talking about all black men. I'm not that ignorant. Every individual is different, but I'm saying there's consistency in it. And I didn't even plan that. That just happened. You see what I'm saying? Now,
right.
Imagine a young black woman, because one in four black women have been raped at some point in their life, and this is just one in four statistic for black women who have been molested at some point in their life, and they have mostly been molested by men in their life, right? Imagine them coming off of that trauma and then being introduced into a society such as this one, you know? And you're already worried about the statistics. Huh?
And also, look how they're being treated by their first partner, their first male partner. Sometimes your first love or your first serious relationship doesn't end well. And it could also add to drama on top of the drama that you just mentioned.
What you're saying,
this is a topic for another show. You know, I'm really going to bring on a relationship expert on the show one of these days to really discuss the relationship between men and women in our culture. You know, because from what I am observing, it's not that good.
Yeah, it's getting rougher, especially as time goes along. We're starting to see even hip-hop, the way the course of hip-hop is going. And hip-hop has always had such a huge influence on our culture. And it's a cultural norm. So what's being brought in is like, these women are bitches and hoes. I really hate to curse on the show. But, you know, they're saying these type of things. And they're saying, we only like girls that like girls. And then when the girls start liking girls, and all of a sudden everybody got problems. You know, like, it's really confusing. I feel like a lot of women are caught between a rock and a hard place when trying to deal and figure out the black male and where they fit in, or if they fit in, or if they're valued. And that's what I'm seeing in a lot of the root cause of young black women. I'm talking about under the age of 30 practicing lesbianism, even with children. And another thing is just them being fed up with trying, because oftentimes a lot of women have had the unfortunate experience of trying so many different kinds of males, right? Because there's consistency in the culture of not valuing the women. And they just get fed up, and they're just like, you know what? I'm going to go to a woman that kind of looks like a male, you know? Or I'm going to go to a woman that kind of looks like a male that's kind of tough, so I feel a little protected. Like, you can tell some of the psychology behind that, which is why I say a lot of this black lesbianism is emotionally fueled and can be changed or can be dealt with in a constructive manner, even with the integration of the black male, if we allow it to do so. Because women wake up in their feelings, and when you get them feeling the type of way and they have certain kinds of bonds and you fulfill certain needs of those bonds, it's not necessarily the vessel that they're latching onto, it's you. They want that. There's male qualities that they're looking for, knowing that they can't find it, but they'll take what they can get. And that's what I'm seeing in that. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that.
No, go right ahead. You're on the roll.
Okay. And then when it comes to black males, I don't know, a lot of people don't know, or I think a lot of people don't realize that one in six black males are estimated to have been raped or molested at some point in their life. And because it goes underreported, it's kind of hard. It's rough, you know, rough estimates, but it's enough to make you go, what? And these are young black males under the age of 18. 73% of these incidences are done by other black men. And so when we try to associate, you know, rape and molestation with a woman, and we're looking at these women were being raped by men, right? And we're starting to see that men were being raped by men. We start to target down, and we start to narrow down that something, you know, something's really going on in our people. And the men that are touching the men, the boys, these boys are growing up to be men, having experienced these things, not being able to talk about it, right? Dealing with a lot of feelings and whatnot that they can't really express, because it's more taboo to be a gay male than it is a gay female, because a lot of guys think being a gay female is hot, but a lot of everybody is like, a gay male? Hell no. You know, look at them, da da da. So they can't really talk about these things, right? So then we end up having a culture of down low men eventually coming out. That's why we see a lot more males coming out when they were as they got older, you know, back in the day. Now
after
it's
I had a family, too.
Yeah,
I had a family, too.
Exactly.
Uh-oh, we have another call. We have another call. I hope it's not obscene one.
Okay.
Green is Black Up America. Hello?
Can I get some motherfucking fried chicken and some watermelon?
All right. That's
you know what? This guy's calling from different numbers. Cause I jot the numbers down and what have you. I'm screening him and whatnot. He used the different numbers. So guess what? I'm not answering any more calls. Take it away.
All right. Thank you. And sorry to everybody that wanted to call in. But long story short, we have a crisis going on with our black males, where a lot of our black males, 1 in 6, are not able to talk about maybe the experiences that they've had or not able to talk about it later. And imagine if we could actually create an open platform for these males to speak on this, to speak on their traumas, even the way that a black woman speaks on her traumas, because a lot of black women are starting to cling to women because of certain factors, like I mentioned earlier. But for the most part, they can be messing around with each other when they're young. And there's a lot of black women that were messing around with other women and dated other women when they're young and still end up with a man at the end of the day. Because they'll be like, I got counseling, I did this, I spoke out about this, you know. They're able to. A lot of men aren't. So it's either like you go one way or the other direction. Or you're just being sneaky and doing stuff on the down low, you know. And so I want to put that 1 in 6 black men have been molested or raped. And like I said, 73% of the rape was done or from a black male to another black male. Another factor in that is the praise that black men get as younger people these days for wearing things that are seen as more feminine. You know, they'll say, ooh, girl, look at him. Ooh, he got style. Look the way he be switching his hips. Go, you go get it. You know, it's cute to be gay. And this is the influence of a lot of black women that do this. So then it gets really flamboyant amongst the men, because they're like, oh, I'm getting praised. You know, like I said, it's the attention. We got attention. Now it's like, I hate to say it, a lot of the flamboyant black men portray very attention-seeking behaviors with the twerking and extreme clothes and the, you know, in the high heels and stuff like that. Like, maybe they're doing them. There's a lot of them that are just doing them. There's a lot of them you can tell that just want to be in the spotlight, you know. So we really got to think about the way we're kind of contributing this to this ourselves, you know. And if it's them, okay, but we need to talk deeper about it, because like I said, it does go back to a root of 1 in 6 black men have been touched. And then we have a bunch of black men, like another 1 in 6 or 1 in 8, that have at some point gone to prison, you know, and are continuing to go back. And I really hate to say this, but you know, the desires of a man, like melanated men, are, you know, generally the ones that I've seen or experienced have been like, I'm hyper sexually active, and you know, like they have these urges, and it's a human urge to want to do certain things. And so when they're in a system for so long, where they're going in and out of the jail system and whatnot, and maybe they are getting touched, or maybe something did happen in there, there's a lot of unspoken things that happen that they come out, don't talk about, and they have to pretend like everything is cool, you know, because they can't confide in our people. They can't even confide in the black women, because we're so homophobic when it comes to black males, you know. Either we're overly enthusiastic or homophobic. We need to kind of just create a cross the board comfort for our people, so we can talk about anything and really figure this out. Do you really like males? Do you really like the same gender, or is this something deeper, you know? It's understanding that we need to build in order to kind of remedy now and be able to work together, you know, whether you be living with the same gender or you live with the opposite gender. We need to be able to work together, but we can't do that without communication, like I said. And then lastly, I'm gonna go over really quickly. I came up kind of with this theory of physically fueled homosexuality and emotionally fueled homosexuality. I hope I'm not talking too much.
No, go right ahead. It's your platform.
Okay.
Go right in.
Okay, so physically fueled homosexuality comes when a person feels like that's just the parts that they want. Like, there's some girls that I have had encounter me, or at some point I just been like, you know, I've always liked women. I woke up and I just like women. I'm not saying that they're born that way, because there's a lot of influence as to why that could be, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to understand. So I talk to them and like, okay, cool. Like, let me talk to you because you're still my people. You're still black. We all black, you know. But mm-hmm. it's like there's some people who are physically inclined to things. They're more physically into something. Like some people, some women are just into women, the parts on a woman, and some guys are just into the parts on a man, right? Maybe nothing happened to them. That's just physics appealing to them. And for those people in general that say that I've always been attracted to those parts, I would also like to say for the women, there's a lot of there's a lot of dudes out here that have very feminine features that you can check out. And for the men, in case they want a family build or whatever, and I throw this option out all the time, for the men, there's a lot of women who may not have or may have a more masculine build that you may be interested in if you're looking to build a family or whatever it is, you want children. I throw that one out there all the time to them. So that nobody is limiting themselves, you know. They don't feel like it just has to be A or B, you know, but it's the way you approach it. Like, I approach it in a certain type of way. But we could still be cool like
this. Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm? For the past 25 years, 30 years, psychologists have said that people are born gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual. People are born this way. If you ask the average LGBT individual, they would say that I've been feeling this way all my life, since I can remember, is the like the average response in the studies, as well as different programs that are available to LGBTQ community. So, how do you feel about that philosophy that this community is born with it? Because let me tell you this, at one time, being gay and lesbian was a mental illness in this country. And it changed like in the late 60s after the riots and whatnot. So I'm just asking you, what do you think about the psychologists say that people are born this way? But it seems like you're saying that it's environmental, emotionally influential, more than. So, what do you think about that?
I think that those are rare, very rare cases, extreme rarities. I think that, yes, there's some people that come out, there's boys that grow up and you just see him, he just, you know, he moves his hands a certain type of way that we perceive to be feminine. Like, and let me tell you, my preference, I love a metro man. I love a man that has a little, you know, twang to the way he moves. I don't consider them to look gay to me. And I don't know why, but I think that's a beautiful quality because you don't see a lot of men who are comfortable with themselves like that and grounded, you know? Like, so it's like,
well, I just want to go on, I just want to go on record. I don't have that in me. I'm a rough guy. I'm an ex-football player. I coached football for 27 years. And, you know, I led men to battle on the field. So I can't help you with that one. I can't help the ladies with that one.
I'm saying that. I feel what you're saying, but I'm saying that, I like a macho man or a metro man. Like, I don't really like in between. It's either you real macho or real metro, but there's so many women who have different types of preferences. So, like, for them to say that we are born sexually attracted to the next gender is a lie. You may have been born with different types of rhythm and different types of body movements, but genetically speaking, and I love genetics, there has been no scientific evidence proving that you were born with this certain type of sexual attraction. We built that cultural norm. If I had a child and my son decided that he wanted to do ballet and whatnot, right? I'd just be like, okay, cool. That's you're doing you. You're doing what you love. Okay, that's cool. You know, I'm not going to dictate his sexuality and be like, oh, he must like dudes. I heard my whole entire life that I was going to be a lesbian because I love to play basketball. I'm very rough. I was good at flag football. They actually wanted me to play on the football team, but my mom wouldn't let me. So it's like, I heard that my whole life. But I can tell you right now, I may have been born with what people perceive to be more masculine type of movement or you know, type of attitude or whatever they say. Because even lesbians will tell me, you kind of got this attitude, kind of like a dude, right? I'm like, is that why you like me? You know, then you should get a dude. But it's like, I heard that my whole life, right? And guess what? It didn't affect my sexuality. Had my family made that a norm where it's like you're absolutely going to like girls, right? And they put me in a type of environment where that was the case, and I really dwelt on that. I was always been my own person. But had I dwelt on that, I probably would have ended up really taking that route, you know? So we got to be careful of the way we're constructing, what kind of social norms we're constructing around the way our child moves and the things that they like, you know? And because we have a lot of say-so in that. Sexual attraction is not something you're born with. You know, that's something that's kind of developed as time goes along. And when somebody's dictating to you and putting in your mind that you're going to be gay, you're going to be, because you're twerking, you know, you're going to go with the group that you fit in with most, which is why I want to create a comfortable platform for our people to actually talk about this on a real 100% note with the numbers, everything. So, yeah, I'm going to throw that one out there. I don't know how you feel about that.
Like I said in the beginning of the show, I have been around the LGBTQ community all my life, so this is nothing new to me. And like I said, our culture had benefited from people that were in the closet or outed, but was a part of that LGBTQ community, had benefited. You know, we have benefited from their teachings, from their activism, and what have you, just everyday life. And this is something, I mean, like I said, it always been, I mean, we had different names for people and everything back when I was a child and stuff like that. But that had always been, and it's a shame, like you brought up one you brought up one incident, scenario, you know, you'd be surprised how many men had came out the closet in the 90s, you know, and these guys are grandfathers now. And you're right, if our community was, but our community never had hate crime towards this community. We might have made fun of it, but we never had hate crimes. There's always the other community that had hate crimes towards the LGBT community. Even
and you know why
members,
it is?
Huh?
And I really say, you know why it is? It's because of something like AIDS. Number one case I hear is, well, when you get AIDS, if you get AIDS from the gay community, black people always talking about AIDS this, AIDS that, only with gay people, but heterosexuals get AIDS just the same. I'm just saying. Because we never
They get HIV more because mm-hmm. we found out now when HIV first came out, everybody called that the gay disease. Oh, that population is being punished and what. But then we saw heterosexual women get it, and it came to find out it was intravenous drug users that shared needles was really mm-hmm. the base cause of the HIV that ran rapid through the 80s, what have you. And then when Magic Johnson got HIV, all kinds of rumors was floating in the air. And this is way before Facebook. I mean, all kinds of, some of his best friends were talking behind his back. And, you know, as athletes, we bleed all the time. You don't know how it got caught, you know? And Magic Johnson, it was a worldly guy. You know, you have women everywhere. You don't know who these women were messing with. And then
you don't know who he was messing with.
Huh?
You don't know who he was messing with.
Well,
and
I don't.
And I'm glad you brought
Magic Johnson. Magic
Johnson. Because we can't talk about it.
The best point guard in basketball NBA history. Just leave it like that. But like I said, there are women that mess with men that was on the down low. being a Magic Johnson back then, being Magic Johnson back then, I mean, like, the rumors, you know, had all kinds of women. So we used to have this saying one time, you know, if you sleep with a person, you're sleeping with her sexual past.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you don't know. That's why they say regular testing is good, because you don't know who did what with whom.
Yeah.
In the past.
But my point being is that it's just a lie. It was a lie that was told by white supremacists, because a white man actually admitted AIDS and confessed to it, which I can also talk about. I would love to talk about that. But long story short, white people, a lot of these white supremacists are really smart. They knew that putting this would scare the black community, being that we were already heavily influenced by God and hell and all this stuff like that. We would really condemn them now and feel like we can openly say, I will kill you, you know? Because we have been brainwashed to be so defensive and not talk to each other. And
right.
Really look at the data and the information in front of us. This is the problem. Even when you said, I don't want to really know what was going on in this bedroom, once you were able to talk about the women, but you weren't able to elaborate a little bit that maybe he was with some men, because look at his son.
And I just gave
you a heavy statistic that 1 in 6 black men were being touched underneath the age of 18, right? And
right.
Now we got this disease there. And there's been a lot of questioning, too, kind of on Magic Johnson's sexuality. So it's like we have a lot of great players have their sexuality questioned. So it's like, why can't we talk about it? Why is it so uncomfortable? And I want to know, why is it so uncomfortable for a black male to talk about another black male potentially being with a black male? I don't see an issue. I don't have a problem talking about a black female or a female being with another female.
I guess because we're conditioned to talk about other things that are masculine, and if you talk, if you have I had a big conversation I overheard, you know, two guys talk about another guy being gay and whatnot and stuff like that. But again, that doesn't interest me, because again, like I said at the beginning of the show, we have so many issues that we have to address. And personally, mm-hmm. individually, I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care who you walk down the block holding hands with. I don't care who you hugging on. As long, at the end of the day, that we could come together and do something for the benefit of the African American in this world. I don't care if you're a good scientist. If that's what you offer, come on the ship. If you're a business owner and you want to invest, or you want to talk about investing and stuff like that, and you can't, come on in. I don't care. You know, I'm always about the theory of inclusion personally. But, like, I want to ask you, like, when you said earlier that people were responding to your post, talk about death to them? I want to ask you why are we so, I mean, in other cultures, they start to accept it. They're starting to open doors. You know, there have been many people that came out that haven't been to Thanksgiving. I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but a lot of families do. You know, haven't been invited to Thanksgiving dinner 10, 15 years. And they're starting to come around the family after a decade or so. But I just want to know why we're so resistant to this lifestyle. Why are we paranoid to this lifestyle? Why are we saying hateful comments?
And this is why. This is why. And it's mostly the hateful comments were coming from people, I hate to say it, with very religious type of constructs. And this is why a lot of the youth have been rebelling against it, because now we have this homosexual presence, open homosexual presence. And I know a few of my friends are homosexuals. Actually, matter of fact, I know most of my girlfriends that are friends with me do sometimes, they like other women, you know, like they get at them. So it's like, when I hear that, I'm like, I don't want to be part of your little cult, you know. You guys talking about they're going to go to hell, you're going to kill them, you're going to burn them in the fire. And this is just, like I said, it's coming off of many views. The religious aspect is coming off the view of what is masculinity. A lot of black men, I feel like they overcompensate a little too much with their masculinity, like relax a little bit. We know you're a man. I know you're a man. Even if you say, like, oh, so my homie so-and-so is dating another man. I was actually with a guy that had a gay male best friend. And we talked about that openly because it didn't bother me. I'm comfortable with myself. He's comfortable with his sexuality. It's okay. It's cool. You know? It's a different type of it's a different type of era with people my age versus the older group. I would say 30 and up. Those are the ones that are saying, I'm gonna kill you, I hope you die, and it's the ones following that group that cling to that type of group and that mindset that probably grew up in the household hearing that they should kill those people that are saying this. And I had my little cousin actually came out on a post and she said, you know, I have a girlfriend, I'm happy, blah blah, right? I didn't even really know that. And I had to kind of tell the people, back off. Don't come at my cousin like that. Come for me, you know? That puts me in a compromising situation. It's not cool to do stuff like that. And like I said, we black people have a higher, they do have a higher suicide rate. We have more suicidal thoughts. We have more stresses in this country. We have too much going on worldwide already. Why would you put more hate on our own people?
Mm-hmm.
They put so much energy into hating homosexuality, which is why I have to talk about it, because of how homophobic the posts were. Oh, look at these gay faggots. Look at this. Look at that. And it's like, they're putting that energy there. So I just tried to take that energy and say, okay, everybody, hold up. Let's get this out. And then now let's focus on how we're going to fix the problem. Okay, you say you got a problem. How are you going to fix it? They don't have a problem. They don't have a solution. They say burn them. That's what made me mad. They don't have the numbers. They don't have the data. They don't have the information. They don't understand that a lot of the people, a lot of young black people they know are probably practicing this lifestyle, not telling them because they're scared.
Well,
to
even the black church, even the black church is starting to soften their position on the LGBT community. You know, you have some black churches around the country that are really softening up and opening doors to them. You know, after we found out there was some black preachers was on the down low too, you know, so after that they'd exposed, I guess they start taking another look and examining this position, because the black church used to be death on the LGBT community. If you join, man, you had to go to a lot of counseling, get in a lot of classes and whatnot, and it was really antithetical to their being in that church. But now, a lot, I don't know about the corporate church, the black corporate church, but I know more community churches are really are starting to change their positioning towards the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. And that's just because, and let me tell you, and I really hate to, I don't really hate to say this, and a lot of millennials would probably agree with me and say the same thing, the black church, they don't want to lose numbers. They don't want to lose that financial backing, you know.
So they have
to be a little bit more widespread, you know, to get your money right. People will conform and do a lot of things. So it's like, but then there's also those black churches that make a lot of money off people hating homosexuality, you know.
Yeah, they do.
There's a lot of black churches out there that's just like, ooh, that person's gay. Like, you know, they have cliques. It's like a gang, you know? Like, okay, I guess God will deal with that one. God will put them in hell. You know, they don't openly have to say it to say it. You know, when you walk through that door and you're a dyke or maybe you're a gay dude, you automatically know what it is right off the bat. You know, and I look out for all my people. I ain't never going to come at nobody like that because I don't help nobody. Like,
because
I've seen it, you know? I've seen it too many times. But which is why I say we can work. If it's a physically fueled attraction where it's like, I like these parts and I'm a girl that likes a girl because I like titties or whatever it is, and I'm a guy that likes a guy because I like the way a man feels, like, that's a different type of fuel. That's aesthetic. But what we can help is emotionally fueled ones, because a lot of people, a lot of our people are just looking to feel close to something. There's
well,
a lot of black misfits.
What do you say to the people that it's a conspiracy and they're trying to feminize a black man in America?
They are trying to feminize a black man in America, and they do it through, they're going to legalize marijuana, and they're going to add a little extra something to tweak the hormones in a black male. And they've been doing that. Ben X, not Professor, Ben X, the dude that's underneath Farrakhan, he actually gave a good talk on that, and I recommend that. That's not conspiracy. That's real. That's like a whole different. That's a whole different topic. I could talk about that one all day.
Hey, Jasmine, only a couple minutes left. You know, before you got on the air, there's only like 3 minutes left. You know, before you got on the air, I made you an offer, you know, to come on the team. You need to think about that. Get back with me. You got any last thing to say?
Well, thank you, too, for allowing me the opportunity to even be on the show and thinking of me to come on and talk. Because it did kind of build up my confidence. I actually am pretty shy, and I hope a lot of people that know me and talk to me do know I'm pretty introverted, actually. I'm just a robot. I spew information, and I love people, and I love brown black people. I said I wanted to be a humanitarian, and I understand that black people make up most of the world, and I just happen to be black, which is a beautiful thing. Next, I would like to encourage people to communicate about all taboo subjects on a heavy black platform, because we need to do more of that. And it's not saying that you advocate for certain lifestyles, but we're advocating to make it so that people get so uncomfortable to the point where they get comfortable talking about it, to the point that it's normalized and that it's phased out. And we can all do us and grab our money, put our money in our heads together to make this thing better for us, because we all going through the same oppression at the end of the day. That's why black gay people have their own unit versus the other races, because they are being oppressed for being black also while being gay. Just saying. So give on somebody to lean on so we don't give our numbers away.
Okay, Jasmine. Okay, I guess I hope I hear from you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We can talk more about it, and I appreciate you again. I appreciate everybody that tuned in, too.
Okay, so you have a good week, okay?
All right, you too.
Good night. There you have it, folks. Another day. Another show. Very interesting comments, but I really don't appreciate it, the crank calls. If you don't like the topic, don't tune off or don't call. You know, so I know some of you downloaders that download the show, listen to the show this week, and really go give me some comments, but that's okay. I'm ready for it. But I want you to understand the money, the money marketing program. My number is 404-573-6144. Please give me a call so we can really do a service for your product. Okay. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night, America.